How does one evaluate the record of a warfighting unit that conducts its operations in secret and officially doesn't even exist? SEAL Team 6 is the blackest of the black ops units deployed by the Pentagon. It's also pretty famous for being so secret. Responsible for killing Osama bin Laden in 2011, that raid became the subject of a movie, Zero Dark Thirty, and SEAL Team 6 gets a part in the movie about the rescue of Captain Richard Phillips from Somali pirates as well. Everything it does is behind the operational curtain of special ops, but an article published over the weekend in the New York Times attempts to piece together a more complete history of SEAL Team 6, a unit that has conducted many more raids than these two. Nicholas Kulish is a correspondent for our partner in the New York Times. He helped write the article. He joins me now. Nick, welcome.
Thanks for having me, John.
So what was the genesis of SEAL Team 6 and its ilk in the special ops culture of the Pentagon?
Well, you know, if you'll recall, there was the disaster trying to free the hostages in Iran that took place during the hostage crisis there. And we already had the Delta Force at that time, which was the Army's Tier 1 Special Mission Unit. And it was decided that the Navy would get involved as well. So they picked up a Vietnam veteran named Richard Marcinko and tasked him with forming his own special unit.
And what was the mission here? Do things against the conventional wisdom, to break the rules, or was there specific guidelines, or is it even known what the mission has been?
I think that the idea of breaking the rules was something that came more from Marcinko and his personal style. I think the idea was that for certain things, especially hostage rescues, for chasing down loose nuclear weapons if terrorists got a hold of one, for storming something like the Munich Olympics, say that we needed to have some really, you know, special guys, the cream of the crop, that could do those very limited, very difficult jobs.
What do former members say about being a part of this unit? Was it something they're proud of, something they have questions about?
I think that everyone who served is proud of having been in the unit, both because of how elite it is and because I would say the vast majority of what they do is, you know, really great, calls for a great deal of bravery and valor. I think that several of the people that I've spoken to have also expressed some concern about what kinds of missions they're being asked to do, whether they're being asked to do too many, particularly in Afghanistan, and whether the culture had changed too much.
And this seems to employ a tactic of, not unlike what Colin Powell used to call flood the zone, where you really come in with an overwhelming amount of force, which can have certain kinds of consequences if the mission itself requires a slightly more surgical approach. Have they gotten in trouble with these sort of tactics?
Well, as we learned by reporting this article, you know, there's not as much accountability and oversight as you would probably expect and as you would get for a conventional military unit. As one senior official had told us, JSOC, meaning the Joint Special Operations Command, investigates JSOC, and that's part of the problem. And so if you're always kind of deciding for yourself whether you made any mistakes, then you tend to grade yourself on a pretty lenient curve.
Is that to say that there have been missions or haven't been missions that have gone terribly wrong?
I mean, there have definitely been missions with civilian casualties, which, of course, you know, we all understand is a part of war. There have also been missions where, members of SEAL Team 6 have gotten killed, where, you know, one wishes that they hadn't. I think that part of the issue here, though, is that there's so little transparency that to judge how the team is doing and to judge whether it's being used effectively is almost impossible from the outside.
Can you detect that people who have been on SEAL Team 6 bear a certain kind of post-operative baggage or weight or sense of being traumatized by the experience at all? Or is there something about being in this unit that actually makes it easier to move on with your life?
I mean, they would certainly say that they are prone less to post-traumatic stress disorder, that they have the kind of mentality to deal with and to get over those kinds of things. I'm not sure that all psychologists would agree with them. In terms of traumatic brain injury in particular, that's something they deal with a lot, you know, blasting open doors, firing or throwing grenades a great deal, jumping out of airplanes, riding on speedboats that sort of slam their heads and necks back and forth. And that's been found to be something that this community, I think, is dealing with even more so than the conventional troops.
How tight are these soldiers in both their operation and post-op?
They're an incredibly tightly bonded team, but it's also almost like a collection of alpha males. And so every single person on that team, I think, believes that they're the best. So there's a lot of clashes. There's a lot of personality issues that you've seen come out a little bit in public with some of these books and some of these specials and some of these movies where, you know, where the guys just have a hard time watching one another, preening before the cameras.
Oh, that's so interesting. Nicholas Kulish is a correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. He helped write an article that was published over the weekend that attempts to give a complete history of SEAL Team 6. Thanks so much, Nicholas.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.